Amen. Man, I'm excited to see all of y'all here tonight. A lot of work has gone into this weekend, and it's just so great to see people that are that care about campus ministry enough to drive as far as some of you have. Let's see who came the furthest away. Who came from 5 hours away? Drove 5 hours. Who came from 6 hours? 8 hours? 10 hours? 12 hours? 15 hours? 16 hours? All right. This is our Orlando plant team sitting over here, guys. So we're excited to have them with us this weekend. My name is Wes Waddell. I've spoken with a lot of you guys on the phone. Either that or I sent you mail. I am the son of a minister. My father is right there. His name's Jim Waddell. He's been a minister for about 35 years now. I grew up down in Little Rock, Arkansas, and am just so glad to be here. And I think I said that. I think you guys should understand that. I was converted through campus ministry. This is why I'm so excited to see this happen. Let me tell you a little story. When I was 12 years old, I got up one morning, and this was the first day for me to go back to regular school. I had been homeschooled from the second grade all the way through the seventh grade. And this was a special day because this was the first day I was going to get to wear my football jersey to school and show everybody I was on the football team. So I got up that morning, all excited. I ran into my closet. I grabbed my jeans. I put them on. And then I put my undershirt on. Then I put my football jersey on, tucked everything in. And when I buttoned my jeans, I noticed they were a little bit tight. But I didn't think too much about it. I just bought these jeans. I'd gone clothes shopping for school clothes a couple of weeks before. And I went on to school feeling good about myself. When I got there, an interesting thing happened. I was walking to my locker to open up my locker, and some people I had never seen before or talked to that were students there came up to me and tapped me on the shoulder, and I turned around and looked at this guy, and I said, yeah. And he said, hey, man, I just wanted to tell you, those jeans are cool. And I said, well, thank you. And I turned around to my locker and didn't think anything about it, got my books. And this went on all day, first period, second period, third period, fourth period, lunch. People were coming up to me saying, man, those are some nice jeans you got on there. And I was just really feeling good about myself by the end of the day, especially by the time sixth period came along, and I ran into some older women, some 13-year-olds. And they came up to me, and they tapped me on the shoulder, and they said, we just wanted to tell you those jeans you got on are awesome. And I said, well, thank you. Do you want my phone number? And they were like, no. And so I went on down to the field house. It was customary before game day to go down and put on what we called our lower extremities. And we would go out behind the field house, and we'd run through plays and get ready for the game. This was a home game. So when I went into the locker room, most of the guys were already there, 60 high school guys changing into their football stuff. And I went up to my locker, and I unbuttoned my pants, and I pulled them down to put on my football pants. And that's when I noticed this black tag that said CHIC, Chick, on the tag. And I looked at it, and I said, Chick? And the guy beside me looked at me and said, you mean you didn't know? And I said, know what? And he picked up these jeans and showed them to me, and real big across the back of them, it said, CHIC Chick. And the whole football team erupted into laughter. For those of you that don't know, the Chick jeans are the Kmart brand women's jeans. And it would have been bad enough if they had just laughed at me, and I don't know who it was, but somebody started singing, you make me feel. You make me feel, then everybody joined in. You make me feel like a natural woman. And they called me Chick Boy for about 2 years after that. Now, I tell you that story because I can pinpoint a time in my life where my shift kind of changed. My focus kind of changed. My parents had always raised me to be a Christian, obviously. I'd been in church as long as I can remember. And I learned when I would go to school and these people would start calling me Chick Boy all day that this just wasn't working. This whole Christianity thing was not working. I was not fitting in socially. I was a social outcast because I wore my mother's jeans to school that day. I think that's when I started kind of using drugs. And I'm sure that many people out there, when they've gotten to high school, they've kind of noticed that maybe Christianity didn't work for them and made a change. Maybe they didn't wear their mom's jeans to school. Maybe it was something else. But that's when my battle with drugs started. Started out with marijuana as I got older. By the time I got to college, I was a complete all-out drug addict. I had moved past the marijuana. I was doing cocaine and ecstasy and pretty much anything you can think of. Anything anybody would put in front of me, I would either snort it up my nose or ingest it somehow. When I got to college, I got to thinking about what line of work could I get into that will facilitate this lifestyle that I like. I liked music. I liked going to bars. I liked girls. And I liked going to concerts. And the only thing that would come to mind when I think about a career path to choose was radio. Big market radio. So that's what I went to the University of Central Arkansas for. I got there, got into the radio program. A couple of years later, landed my first job in Memphis, Tennessee at a station called 94.1 The Buzz. And became a popular local celebrity there. And what was sad about that is I thought that this was going to bring me happiness. This celebrity and being able to hang out with rock bands backstage at concerts and being able to go to bars and get free drinks. I thought this was going to bring me happiness. But I think at the peak of the popularity in Memphis, I was more empty than I'd ever been in my life, ever. And that made me depressed. And I turned to drinking and drugs and just turned up the usage on that. I eventually lost that job in Memphis because of that, moved to Little Rock, got another job at a radio station there, lost that because I was just I was just an addict. I wasn't functional. Got to where I was just staying in my house, would not leave my house, had no purpose in life. And I got to a point where the only thing I could think of was I need something. And I decided the Marine Corps was it. I went and enlisted in the Marine Corps. That was what I turned to for purpose at that time. When I went to get sworn in and have my physical done, I ended up having high blood pressure. I've had high blood pressure since I was about 16 years old, so it really wasn't any huge surprise, but the recruiters told me, you can't go to boot camp like this because you'll die. The boot camp will kill you, so you need to just go try to lose some more weight, lose another 10 pounds. I'd already lost like 40 pounds. They said, go lose another 10 pounds, and then come back and we'll try it again. I went home, and I told my father what had happened. And with a twinkle in his eye, he said, well, if you're going to train, why don't you go to Florida to train on the beaches? And I got to thinking about it. And I was like, the beaches in Florida, that's better than the back roads of Searcy, Arkansas. That sounds pretty good. So I decided that that sounded like a good idea. What I didn't know was what he knew. 30 years ago, my dad baptized a guy named Gary Lambert, who's now the minister down at the Bay Area Church of Christ in Tampa. Apparently, he had contacted Gary and told him that they were still having problems with me, which the Lamberts were well aware of. I was not a Christian, and he said, you know, I heard about this campus ministry you guys got down there and this group you guys got down there. I want to send my son down there and just expose him to this group. So I moved to Tampa. I was going to stay there for 1 month. I got there, and lo and behold, Gary said, Wes, if you're going to stay under my roof, I need you to go to church. And I was like, man, all right. So I went to church. Wednesday night was the first night that I went. And that's when I had my exposure to this group back here, the CIA, Christians in Action. I cannot tell you what a breath of fresh air that was. Now, guys, I went to church a long time. I would go to church on Sundays. I would see people my age. They would be friendly to me on Sunday morning. But it was like pulling teeth to try to get them to do anything outside of church with me. These guys attacked me when I got there. And it's not just because it was me. They do this to everybody. They attacked me with friendliness. And not just friendliness. They weren't just friendly. They were a friend to me. There's a difference between being friendly and being a friend. They were inviting me out with them. They were inviting me to their houses. They were inviting me out to the movies with them. And not only did I become friends with them, I witnessed their zeal for reaching the lost. And it changed my life. I had never been exposed to a group of people my age that had such a zeal for reaching the lost. Ever. And it changed my life. I became a Christian because of my exposure to that ministry. I didn't introduce you, to my wife. I think she's out there running the, where is she? Okay. This is my wife right here. I actually met my wife through that ministry. She was converted through that ministry. We have our first baby on the way in the middle of November, right in the middle of deer season. We're gonna have to plan that a little better next time. But seriously, what if that ministry hadn't been there? What if that ministry had not existed? Where in the world would I be today? I don't like to think about that. Many of the people in this room were converted through campus ministry, and I know this because I know many of you. I went to the National Campus Ministry last year and was absolutely shocked when I found out we have so few campus ministries. We've got less than 200 out of 4,000. I think the exact number I want to say is it 173? Somebody help me out. Somewhere around that. And even out of that number, many of those ministries aren't really campus ministries. They're just churches that have a college-age Bible class on Sundays. So the number's actually significantly lower than that. We don't have very many campus ministries in the Church of Christ at all. How many millions of souls are we missing? If you got the flyer, 80% of our conversions today are coming from young adults who are 18 to 25. 80%. The university campus is a gathering place for this segment of the population. These kids have just made a major change in their life. They're coming to the campus. They're looking for something more. A lot of them are finding purpose in business. A lot of them are finding purpose in making money. A lot of them are finding purpose in the frat life and Greek life, drinking and drugs, sex. A lot of them are finding purpose in places that's not a place where you should find purpose. How many millions of souls are we missing? How many broken marriages are there going to be? How many suicides are going to occur? How many drug addicts and alcoholics are never going to recover? How many people are going to die alone and unloved because we don't have ministries on these campuses? How much abuse, suffering, loneliness, and pain is it going to take for us to act? How many people are on a path to hell because we haven't made it our personal responsibility, not somebody else's, but our personal responsibility to see that these campuses are reached and to see that these people are reached through these campus ministries? Whose responsibility is it if it's not the campus ministers? Who's going to pick up the ball and run with it if it's not the people that are passionate about reaching young adults? It's not going to be churches if they don't hear about this problem. It's not going to be elderships if they don't hear about this problem. It's got to be the campus ministries. These young adults are making decisions right now that are not only going to affect the rest of their own lives, but they're going to affect the lives of every single person that they come into contact with. And that's huge. That is huge. Who better than campus ministers to address this problem? So you ask, how? Well, how are we going to do this? Well, we've got a plan. Now, this plan may change. This is new to us. This is new to everybody. And we're learning from all the places we can. And we want to get everybody's heads together on this. But how are we going to do this? Well, we plan to form ministry teams that are made up of individuals from ministries and churches, basically that are just on fire to reach the lost. I don't think there's a better way to do that. We've seen this be successful in church plants, Outreach America, Marvin Croson. He's one of our speakers tomorrow. This is his bread and butter. This is what he does. He actually has a job here at Harding, runs their domestic missions department, where his job is to help facilitate and train ministry teams to send them out. We need to pick a location. This is very basic. Pick a location where the need is great. Each team should be trained. Every single one of them. We've got to have training. Now, on that note, I don't think every single person has to have a Bible degree to be a minister. I really don't. Now I'm waiting. I don't know if anybody's going to come down from the ceiling and chop my head off. I don't have anything against Bible degrees. I'm getting one, probably one, two, or three of them. So I don't have a problem with that. But to tell people you can't go do this unless you have a degree, I don't think is right. I don't think it's biblical. Now, they should be trained, though. And I think the best way to train them is not in a classroom. You get them out with campus ministries that have proven to be effective. And I say effective. When I say effective, I mean effective in the way of conversions. Why would we send missionaries out trained by a ministry that's not seeing conversions? That doesn't make sense. So, the best way to learn, like I said, is just to get in the pits. If possible, when you're choosing a location, I think it would be a good idea if we could work with an existing church. That's not always going to be possible. Some churches are not conducive to campus ministry. Some of them don't care about campus ministry. And oftentimes, there's not going to be a church in the location where we're going. I'm going to San Francisco, California, in 2008. There's not a real strong church presence out there. Now, we are working with an existing church. It's a very small church that's just about to die. And hopefully we're going to be able to help them. But anyway, there's not always going to be this opportunity to work with a church, but it would be nice if we could go ahead and plug in with one. Ideally, it would be nice if each team would have one, two, or three people that are full-time. In doing research on this and just talking with different campus ministries, the campus ministries that have full-time workers are the ones that are getting the job done, that are really doing a good job out on campus. So if possible, we would really like to have one, two, or three that are full-time. These guys need to raise their own support. I'm in school right now. I go to school double full-time just about. I'm fully supported as of right now to go through school. Once I get out, Lord willing, I'll be fully supported in San Francisco. The cost of living there is the highest in the nation. The average income where we're going is $91,000. Rent is $2,000 a month, and you've got to prove to the landlord that you make more than three times that before they'll even let you in. So that's a hurdle we're working on jumping over right now, but God will provide. The rest of these teams, I think, ought to find jobs in the area. There's so many opportunities to do vocational ministry and outreach through vocational ministry. But their main focus will remain the campus ministries or whatever ministries they're working with. As I mentioned before, guys, this method of operation has been successful in church plants. We've seen it be successful. And I really think that it'll transfer over to campus ministry. Talk a little bit about goals. Last year's NCMS, Rick Atchley, in one of his presentations, said, we're not setting enough God-sized goals. And a God-sized goal is a goal that's so big that it can only be accomplished if God is involved. And we've got a God-sized goal that we've set here for Campus Ministry United. We would like to see 10 ministries planted within the next 10 years. And I think that's entirely feasible. Things have come together in such a way, it could be none other than God's hand. We've got one ministry going to San Francisco. We've got another that's going to Orlando. There have been rumblings about possibly Jacksonville, Los Angeles, Corpus Christi, a few other places. If you know of a place, by the way, where you think something like this would work, please let us know. We'd like to hear that. How are we going to make this work? Well, we need people. That's why we're here this weekend. We'd like to hold these conferences, workshops, annually if possible, just to bring people in, to bring speakers in, to put our heads together, and to work on this problem, to see a solution to this problem. We need people that are willing to spread the word regarding this need. We need people that are willing to talk to churches, that are willing to talk to elderships. And this has got to start with prayer. It's got to. This has got to be covered with prayer, and it starts with God. All of this needs to be lifted up to God. We need people who have a burning desire to reach the lost through relational evangelism and campus ministry. We need churches and individuals who are willing to give financial support to this venture. Most of all, guys, we need to be united in our efforts to work as one body led by one spirit to reach the lost. Hence the name, Campus Ministry United. What will it look like? Can you just see this in 100 years? If we have ministries on every single campus, what will the world look like if this happens? What will it look like? We've got people that are graduating that are going to be the future leaders of the world. We've got people that are going to be politicians that are going to affect government, that are going to affect policy in America. This is exciting to me. This is so exciting because this is an actual possibility. And it starts right here. So my question to you is, what can you do to help? What can you do personally to help? We have an opportunity to change the world. So let's take advantage of it. Everybody should have gotten one of these deals. Just to give a couple of orders of business here. If you have any questions, tomorrow we have an open forum that's going to last for 2 hours. We're going to have probably everybody but me who's speaking come up and answer questions from you. If you have a question that pops up during one of the presentations tonight, please just write it down and turn it in either to me or to one of the other people that are working here at the event. You can turn them in to Marvin, and we'll make sure that that question, if time allows, we'll get all the questions answered and some good discussion. I think next on your schedule is probably a breakout group listed. Probably should have done this at the beginning, but basically, these breakout groups, we're just going to ask that you get in groups of no more than three or four. If you need to, pull chairs off over to the side or wherever, utilize the space. Just get your heads together, and if you'll open up to page 3 in this book, each presenter, besides Dr. Joe at the end, we're going to have a breakout group for this. So just flip open, check out these breakout group questions, and we will break up and just kind of get our heads together. We want this to be an open dialogue weekend. We want to hear from you. We don't just want people to be up here kind of yelling at you the whole time. So we want to hear from you. If you've got ideas, if you've got anything you want to share with us, please let us know. Please let us know. Let's go ahead and break up groups of three or four. And before we do that, I'm going to say a prayer one more time and just ask God to bless this weekend. Again, though, I appreciate you guys coming here. I appreciate it so much. You have no idea. And I just pray the kingdom grow through this weekend. Let's pray. Father God, it is so good to see your servants here this weekend. It is so good to know that you've blessed them with hearts that care about the lost and that care about campus ministry. Father, I just pray that you bless this weekend. I pray that you use these speakers that are here, these men that have just done so much work in your kingdom, that you will speak through them and use them as tools. And I pray for the individuals here that are going to go back out into the world, back out to their churches, back out to their ministries. Father, I pray that you'll give us God eyes. I pray that we will see those around us who are hurting, those who are lost, those who need Jesus. And I pray that we can reach out to them. And Father, I pray for the campuses of this nation. I pray that you send workers to go to them, God. And I pray that the kingdom grow through this effort. I thank you for everyone here. And I thank you most of all for your son who died for us. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and break up. We'll call you back and just